2 Timothy chapter 1. We finished verse 14 yesterday. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. So now we're at 15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Verse 15, this thou knowest. Knowest is that word that we've looked at a bunch of times, eidon. It means to know by the senses. You know by observation. You know by all your senses. That all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Now, Asia corresponds to what is now Turkey in that time. Be turned away from, it means any part of the group that is any group that is identified. So he's saying all believers in Asia have turned away from me. Turned away from is apostripo. It means to desert, to pervert. Now, Philegius and Hermogenes were by ancient testimony, were the leaders of all the churches in Asia. And so they were named in particular because they turned away from the doctrine into which they had been delivered, and they became ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. That sound familiar? Let's look at from up turned away from. Let's go to Luke 23. See how the word is used in a couple different places. Luke 23, verse 13. He's talking to, he's before Pilate and Herod. I mean, he's talking about Jesus before Pilate and Herod. And in verse 13, and Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and rulers and the people, said unto them, you have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you and found no fault in this man touching those things whereof you accuse him. Now the word perverteth there is this apostrepo. So he is saying that these men, this man Jesus, was accused of apostasy. Apostrepo, that was his crime. An apostasy was a death sentence in the ancient law. So now let's go to Acts 13 and see something else. Acts 13, verse 40. Beware therefore lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, you despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." Now, the word in verse 46, "but seeing you put it from you," is the word apostrepo. So the word of God was preached to the synagogues, and they were at Antioch, but I don't remember. And they put it from them. So anyway, this thing of apostasy is huge.
This is like historically pivotal. The declaration of that fact
right.
made here is just like...
Now he goes to the Gentiles.
Yeah, it hasn't stopped to this day.
All right. We're Philegius back to Timothy. Philegius and Hermogenes, as I said, were leaders of the church, the various churches in Asia or in Turkey today. It's interesting. The word Phygellus means little fugitive, and Phygellus is the Greek word. And Hermogenes means lucky born. Now, let's look. I will wager that the same apostasy that occurred in Asia occurred elsewhere. So go to chapter 2 of 2 Timothy.
Just a quick observation. This speaks to the incredible power of envy and jealousy, how it's turned a nation that can't repent hardly.
Amen.
And that's personal. That's not historical. That's personal.
Paul is saying, let's start in verse 7. We're going to probably spend the rest of the time on this one. "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Now, this next few verses, you got just really hear them. "It is a faithful saying. For if is ice there, in view of the fact that we be dead with him, we shall live with him." Ice, again, in view of the fact we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And that's that idea. I guess it must have been a really important call. He
he's taking this opportunity to shut down.
I'll not be caught in that trap.
If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. He is, it's more sure than the sun is going to rise. It's more sure than anything that we can conceive of. The only thing that can affect what he is doing is your mind. And this is because of his humility. Before God, his humility had to be so great that he emptied himself of any powers that he had, with the exception of the times that he exercised those powers so that he could know that he had them, because if he didn't know he had them, he couldn't empty of them. Do you understand that? It's really important. And therefore, his humility had to understand what he had to know what he was emptying himself of. And we've said so often, he healed a few, why didn't he heal everyone? He fed a few, why didn't he feed everyone? He raised a few from the dead, why didn't he raise everyone from the dead? He did it. He did those things so that he, and God instructed him, he did those things so that he would know that he possessed that power, so that he then would empty himself of that power. Now the same is true in us. If you have an ability, that's where along the line that you will be tested. You must empty yourself. It means nothing to empty yourself of something you don't possess. You understand what that means? That's just religious crap.
That gives a meaning to the things that you've been given.
Amen.
A different meaning than everybody thinks it is.
Amen.
Good at hammering nails is so you can let go of that.
He wasn't too good at hammering nails.
Whatever. I just popped out of my head. Or whatever the thing is, it's not so you can hammer nails for eight. It's to give you something to lay down. At least that's the way I'm understanding.
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah. If you have a talent, as a natural talent, and you know you have that, then that's what must be emptied. The idea of using your talents for the glory of God is just absolute heresy. This will get you a little bit. All right.
Are all the occurrences of the word "if" there the ice?
Yeah, those there are ice. Deny us. Now we don't deny him by saying he doesn't exist. We deny him by saying we exist.
And that's juxtaposed with he is faithful.
He cannot deny himself.
That's right. Great that is.
There's a distinction in 12 and 13 between denying yourself versus not believing. Is it not believing versus denying?
I don't know what you mean.
Believers.
If we deny him...
If we deny him, he denies us, but if we don't believe, he continues to believe on our behalf. I don't know.
I don't think that's the way it works. Because without faith, you're out of the picture. The word deny here... Remember, there's two words for deny. The word for deny where it says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. That's aperdiomai, and it means total abandonment. You don't exist. Abandonment of self. This deny is the word, it's a similar word, it's instead of aprodeomai, it's aproneomai. And it means that it's the word that you deny. If an Hoover Dam, it's Lake Mead, a huge lake behind it, the dam is denying the water.
It's moving, yeah.
And so what we do when we put I in the picture, we deny him. Because he is our only I. So when we have concern for self, we are denying him. If we deny him, he will deny us before God. But yet he abideth faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Got it? All right, this is not what we're studying here. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And what that means is, remember we've said that rightly dividing is the use of that, it's a two-edged sword that had a little curve on it that was used to cut up the sacrifice to ensure that every aspect of the innards of the sacrifice were in order. Now, remember, there was huge, you know, all the sheep and cattle that were, and oxen that were sacrificed, they had to be carefully inspected by one of the courses of the priesthood. And they were carefully inspected while they were alive. And if there was, you know, they had to, for the ashes of the red heifer, it was ridiculously difficult to become an ashes of the red, or to become the suitable red heifer. But it was pretty difficult to become any of the sacrifices. But they were closely inspected. And once they were taken from the herd and put in the pen, and if they were inspected and found to be not worthy, then they could not use that animal for anything else. They couldn't eat it. They couldn't use it to pull anything. It had to be killed. And then all the other sacrifices, after they had inspected, if the innards didn't meet the law, then that pile of innards was put on a cart along with the animals that were alive once, and they were taken out to the Red Sea, to the Dead Sea, and they were put in these container-like things if they had already been cut up. And in the alive ones, the millstone was hung around their neck. And they were, all of it was buried in the depths of the Dead Sea. So you got to hear this, that once the cattle or the oxen or the sheep were taken from the herd and put into the pen, that was a huge deal. That was beyond huge. And the same is true with his people. Once you don't meet, once this isn't, then you are good for nothing. You can't be used for anything. Do you understand a little bit? So this thing about study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth, that includes all the way down to the reins or the kidneys, so that every aspect of you has to be seen as sanctified in Christ. If you have a boo-boo, whatever it is, it's of him and from him, because you're just the vessel. You're just the good earth, as we talked about yesterday, that the loam, which creates the ground for the seed in that parable. Amen? All right. Study to show thyself approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings. Let me read that again. Shun profane and vain babbling. Now, vain babbling is babble talk that doesn't have the component of eternity in it. Remember, let your speech be seasoned with salt. Salt is the component of eternity. So let your, and then in Psalm 19, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. And that means that every thought and every speech or every word has to have that component of eternity. That means what you're talking about is timeless. But the vanity, the vain, means that which changes with time is corrupted, vain, stupid, unbelievably bad. That's why if you have a cause, it's vain babbling. Kevin? Got any vain babble? All right.
Got any babble at all?
He hardly babbles at all.
Huh?
But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And ungodliness is ascibia. It means wrong thinking. And their word will eat as does a canker or a cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. You got to hear this. This is everything. And I will wager that the two that were mentioned and all of those in Turkey or in Asia were guilty of the same thing. They said the resurrection is past already. And it, the resurrection, and his Jesus came, and he'll come again in the future. But right now, I'm left to my own devices. Now, unfortunately, that's about all we hear. Do you see the importance of this?
Well, that's the religion of the mind, basically. It has to have the time component to it.
They have Hymenaeus. Hymenaeus and Philetus, their word will eat as does a cancer, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Remember, iniquity is self-seeking. Under any guise. Now, the question isn't about what they did. It's about what you do. Do you believe that the resurrection is past already? It doesn't matter even if you believe. What, do you live as if the resurrection is past already? Let's say Jesus came and he's coming again. But he isn't here now.
No. Christ has risen. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Amen. But the important part of this discussion is he is. Let's go to 1 John 4. Waiting for the Bible scholars. 1 John 4. You're in John.
1268.
Beloved. Well, let's look. look at chapter 3, verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he has given us command. And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Now again, you got to hear, a spirit is anything incorporeal. So anything without a body. So every thought and every word is spirit in this context. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Try your words. Try your thoughts. Test them. Because many, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. And notice that spirit is in italics. It should say, this is that Antichrist, the instead of Christ, wherever you've heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. Everything must depend on your knowing, that you know that you know that you know. Know you not your own selves. Prove to your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. And what these guys were teaching was the resurrection was past, and Jesus Christ wasn't their life. Okay, back, 2 Timothy. Chapter 2.
That's a companion with the cross. You don't say that without the cross. And many.
This is a subject that the 95 Theses didn't cause the Reformation. It was his Heidelberg Disputation. It was 23 points that all emphasize this mystery that we're just talking about with the cross. There's only him. Only him. We're just a vessel for that life, which is Christ. There is no other. You've always been a spirit for deity. I mean, a vessel for deity. You thought you were something. You thought you were this image and person that you've made up. That you were given a name by, you were an accident because, you know, you've heard me talk about this before, but, you know, 50 million sperm cells go out every time you ejaculate. So the 50 million to one odds that you became a person. And then you were conformed to this world by the traditions of men. And you were taught, because of the fall, you were endemic self-seekers. And you think you're some kind of special thing. Everybody thinks that. Until you come to the end of everything. And you see and run to the cross for your death. So that finally, that life which is Christ in you, the only hope of glory, is revealed. Everything else is vain. Empty, futile, without purpose, except to get to that singular point. All right. I'm going to just go up to I'm going to quickly read chapter 3 we're going to study this later. Know this also, in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the efficacy thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses through television screens and lead captive silly women and laden with sins, led away with their own diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we have Phileges, Hermogenes, then we have Hymenaeus and Philetus. And I will wager every those four were the teachers. You know, that what they were doing is teaching the Sabbath they were waiting. Everything was waiting for something else to come. Remember, the Corinthian heresy not only said that the purpose of Christ's birth, life, suffering, death, and incarnation was so that you could be healthy and wealthy and wise, but a second part of that Corinthian heresy was that Jesus was going to return physically to Jerusalem for 1,000 years. Now, just about everything we hear taught today is a Corinthian heresy. Listen to these guys. So, yeah, that's enough for today. Anybody have any response? Yeah, like like invading Iraq.
Yeah, I can't remember if I saw
that. Yeah, you did.
It's Gog and Magog and things.
Bush was talking to the president of France, encouraging them as a Christian leader. They needed to invade Iraq because they were Gog and Magog spoken of in the Bible.
Against Gog and Magog,
right.
And Chirac is going like, called in this theological guy to try and interpret what Bush was telling him on the phone. You know, I called up some seminary president guy in France to parse what George Bush had just told him. This came out in a book, and nobody
didn't know
about it
before
now.
Well, you probably couldn't have found one in France.
Well, in Rumsfeld, was sending these messages to the troops, all couched in religious terms of what the glory they were doing, et cetera, et cetera. So they were doing God's work. And then we have Derek Prince, the guy that had Blackwater.
Is it
Eric Prince was the other guy. Eric Prince, he's owner of Blackwater, he's a billionaire. And he's taught his inner circle that they are the new Templars. And their purpose is to kill and destroy all enemies of Christianity, which is fundamentally Muslims. These guys were the guys in power.
Yikes.
All righty, take it, big guy.